proper music that fits consciousnesses and UFOs and the issue. And we're going to talk to Grant Cameron and change the subject a little bit here. Grant, tell me a little bit about this lecture that you're going to be doing in Philadelphia, and what's the event and everything?
It's the MUFON. They have two MUFON meetings there. They have one in Philadelphia this weekend, and then 2 weeks, I think 2 weeks from now, they have it in Pittsburgh. They have fairly good turnout. It's a MUFON group.
And, yeah, John Ventry's involved in that.
Yeah, and I've been to it before. I stopped by. I was at looking at Scott Jones' material at University of Rhode Island, and I came back through there for the conferences, not last year, before. So I saw how they work, and they got a fairly good audience, and he does a good job there. So this is a lecture I gave in England 2 weeks ago. I gave two lectures. I gave one on consciousness, and I gave one on a theory that I firmly believe that there's a gradual disclosure, that they're dropping pieces of the UFO story into the public without giving away who's behind it or the classified material and that sort of stuff. And the way I got to this consciousness thing was it happened last year. I was at the UFO Congress in Phoenix, and almost every one of the lectures had sort of a subtopic of consciousness. So for example, Stephen Greer was talking, and he always talked about, going out and, trying to flag the UFOs down, this CE5 stuff. And the lecture that really caught me was the very last one. It was lecture by Colin Andrews, where he talks about consciousness circles. And, Colin Andrews was the expert on crop circles in England, and he had the big catalog of all the crop circles and stuff like that. It was the noted authority. Rockefeller had given him a bunch of money to determine, is this for real or is it hoax? And he put out a report that said 80% of crop circles are hoax, only 20% are real, and that was the end of his UFO career. It was like Bill Moore. Nobody wanted to talk to the guy. He's working for the government and all this sort of stuff. So when he appears at Congress last year, he gives this lecture called Consciousness Circles, and his theory now is that 80% or 20% are real, 80% are hoaxed, but that the 80% that are hoaxed are also controlled by the aliens, that the aliens are telling the people who are hoaxing the circles what to do. It's coming through their mind, and he brought some pretty interesting evidence that seemed to back up that this could be happening. And the minute he gave this lecture, all the stuff from I've been in this for 37 years, sort of just all these things just popped into my head, and a lot of stuff made sense. And it goes even back to before I got into UFOs, I was into near-death studies. And when I was at university, I did a paper where I went to the hospitals and I talked to chaplains with dying people and asked all these questions. Could people predict their death? Was there any miracles? Did anybody get up when they're about to die and walk away? Did anybody have out-of-body experiences? This is back in the 70s when it first started, and I went into all this bizarre stuff. Now, all this stuff, once I heard this lecture, all these things came into my head, things that very high-ranking people, for example, Wilbur Smith, who was the head of the Canadian government UFO program, Ben Rich, Wesley Clark, the four-star general who was running for president, and Dr. Eric Walker, all these people that I had researched, things that they had said that never made sense suddenly made sense. So what I did is I put the lecture together, and I guess in terms of what Bruce was talking about, I put it in perspective for you. Today there's an article came out on Huffington Post. It's an article on a friend, Major Friend, who was the head of Blue Book at one time, and Major Friend, the big article is, UFO should be investigated. He doesn't believe that they're extraterrestrial. He believes, how could you get so much food on a spaceship for the distance they have to travel? And a lot of people, Leslie Kane, John Alexander, now a friend, everybody's calling for a new UFO investigation. And what I'm saying is that, for example, you take a look at Bruce McAbee. He's analyzing photographs. We've analyzed photographs since 1950. And basically, the most you're going to get from an analyzed photograph is it's unidentified. That's as much as you're going to get, because John Lear sort of described it. Ufology today is basically how big was it at arm's length and compared to your thumb? What color was it? What direction is it moved in? And what I'm saying is that if you do another UFO study, you're going to come to exactly the same conclusion, whether the government does the study, whether the media does the study, or whether science does the study. If you just look at UFO sightings things flying around in the sky, photographs, you are going to get nowhere. We are absolutely at a dead end in ufology. We can do nothing. And the best analysis of this, the guy that exemplified this the best or gave the best example of this was Jim Dellatoso. And Jim Dellatoso probably did more photo analysis than anybody, had all this equipment. He did the Phoenix Lights photographs, and he did all his analysis. He's basically that's not his main priority. He just deals with contactees. And the example he used is exactly right. What we are doing is equivalent to standing at the top of a tall skyscraper, looking down at all these little things moving along the road. And we can say, well, there's big ones, there's little ones, there's red ones, they're moving in this direction, they're moving in that direction, but you will never know what those things are, you will never know where they're from, what they're doing here, whether they are a natural phenomena or whether they're extraterrestrial, until you go down the elevator, as Travis Walton did, stand in front of one of those things, wave at it, and get zapped and get taken aboard one of those things. The way we have it right now, the most we'll ever get is 12,000 cases. Like, for example, if we do another Blue Book study, we do 12,000 cases, we are going to come up with the same thing. There's going to be 700 unknowns. And when you ask science, media, or the government, if they do the study and say, well, what are the unknowns? They're going to say, well, we don't know. They're just unknowns. They're going to say, oh, they're extraterrestrial. And they'll say, no, we don't know they're extraterrestrial. We just don't know what they are. And that's like a dead end. All we're getting is unknown. And it's not until you get inside the craft or until you talk to whoever is riding in those crafts that you are going to advance the subject. Now, we've made some advances in the last couple of years because it's sort of become known that people have been abducted. And that's sort of being generally accepted in the UFO community, that the abduction phenomenon is real. So you have some interactions. For example, Travis Walton will describe grays. He'll describe blonde-type people in the craft. We start to move again. We start to figure out what's going on. And it's that consciousness thing that aliens, from all the descriptions, whether it's a contactee, an experiencer, an abductee, they all talk about this telepathy thing, this mind thing. And that's where we have to go in order to learn anything new. We have to get to talking to aliens. And a lot of people don't want to because we're so ostracized already. Our friends laugh at us. Everybody thinks we're crazy. And if we start talking about talking to aliens, then really nobody's going to talk to us. And that's why we want the government to do the study. That's why we want the media. We want science, because none of us wants to stand up and say it's extraterrestrial. And the only way you're going to get the evidence that it's extraterrestrial is to get inside the craft. And people will say, for example, there's a lot of noise in terms of consciousness, that there's too much noise compared to the signal. But it's the same thing with ufology. That's a problem you have to solve. And if you talk to Travis Walton or people who have been abducted, they will tell you that there is no noise, that the telepathy is clear, that they've got this down pat. And even if you look at Chase Brandon, when Chase Brandon was talking, he used the word phenomenology. And that is a word, as far as I'm concerned, that is a word that's used in intelligence. We use the word at the CIA. They don't refer to it as UFOs. It's referred to as phenomenology. It's all together, whether it's ghosts, remote viewing, ESP, UFOs. It's all this phenomena that there is an underlying something that we don't understand. Like 1,000 years ago, we didn't understand electricity. There's something there that we don't understand. Once we understand that underlying principle, we'll explain to us exactly what is going on. And that's why I say consciousness is the most important thing we should be studying, this idea that we have to interact with this phenomena in order to advance. Otherwise, we're just going to be doing the same thing over and over, having red ones, green ones, fast ones, big ones, small ones, and coming to no definite conclusion.
You know, Grant, you're a very objective fellow, and are you connected with any groups? As far as I know, you're pretty independent. You may be a member of MUFON. I've never asked you.
The odd time I'll join MUFON for a year, and I interact with the different people. I'm not really a sort of a group type person where it's, you know, how are we going to research? How are we going to do that? I just basically look at, for example, Ronald Pandolfi is a person of interest. That's what I want to. I want to get in around this guy, hear what he says. I'm more interested in finding who's got the answer, because I think it's like the one thing I'm going to talk about in my lecture is the fact that there was a study that most people don't know about that was done by Bob Wood. I don't know if you're familiar with the study.
No, I'm not, but I'm familiar with Dr. Wood, of course.
Yeah, Dr. Wood. And this was, I said no intelligence agency ever contacted me, but I was contacted once by a guy who claimed to have these documents. I thought, finally, you know, finally someone's going to give me some documents. This is fantastic. And what it turned out to be was when Bob Wood was an engineer at Douglas Aircraft, he went to Douglas Aircraft and he said, and this was in the same period of Blue Book when the Condon Report was going on from 1960 to 1968 to 1970, he said to the head of Edwards, to Douglas Aircraft, he said, there's technology here. We should be working on this as engineers. And they were given the okay to research UFOs. And so they spent $500,000 on researching UFOs. They spent more than the Condon Committee did it from 68 to 70. So they produced a study, and part of the study that they did was they had somebody who was actually, they were talking to people who had been abducted. Because Bob Wood's impression was, and this is the way I follow it, is if this is a phenomena, it's going to be common sense that if you do enough work and you put one foot in front of the other, if the aliens figured out how to do this, we can figure out how to do it too, that you believe it's there. And so what they were doing as part of this study is they were talking to abductees, and they were trying to get from the abductees, had you talked to the aliens? How does this thing work? And they had realized that the part of the thing had to do with this talking to the aliens, that you couldn't just look at sightings and stuff. And they spent a lot of time and a lot of money dealing with people who were, abducted. And I believe the same thing happens. You have all these MILAB cases, these military abductees, where the story is that the military will re-abduct an abductee. And that makes sense, that you can't go and ask them questions. I'm from the CIA. I want to ask you questions about your abduction. What you do is you use drugs, and you get them back into that state where you open up the consciousness, you open up that block, and you ask them, what did the aliens say? Where are they from? And you try to get the technology out of this abductee. So that's the whole concept. And what had happened when this guy was going to leak the documents, I figured it was, it was going to be government documents, and it turned out it was the Douglas documents. And Bob Wood was very upset when he first heard that I had these documents. And what had happened was the guy who was doing the abduction research for them had a set of documents, and Bob had a set of documents, and all the engineers had a set of documents, and they were all like classified in, they had to be kept in vaults and stuff like this. And this guy died. He had a farm. He had died, and he'd left the documents in the barn, and the guy that found bought the barn saw these documents and sold them on eBay for $20. So the guy that bought them on eBay comes to me with these secret documents. I figure they're government documents. And then I find out, they're not government documents, and I really wasn't that interested. But it is, I put them on a site called Check the Evidence. It's a site in the UK, and you can see these documents. There's 275 pages of documents. This is Bob Wood. This is engineers from Douglas Aircraft. And he actually talked about the fact that when McDonnell Douglas, when it came together, he went to the head of James McDonnell and related this thing about consciousness and talking to abductees and stuff, and that the president of Douglas Aircraft or McDonald Aircraft was so interested he gave him $20,000 funding to look into this aspect. And basically, that's where I look at ufology. It's simple. It's like engineering. There's an answer. Forget about all the people laughing. This is the way it seems to be going. This seems to be an answer that if you can find a way to talk to whoever's in the craft or talk to the people who've been in the craft, like Travis Walton, and if you do enough of that, you're going to start figuring out who these people are. I don't think right now we can learn anything more from what we have, because by watching things fly around in the sky, you can't tell where they're from, you can't tell what they're doing here, and you can't tell who's inside those craft. You've got to get in the craft, or you've got to talk to them. It's as simple as that. So that's the whole consciousness thing. And then I even, some of the stuff that fit, but let me give you just a bizarre example. When one of the main things that I, sort of my Bible is a book written by Dr. Michael Newton. And it's a book about life between lives. And I won't get into that whole thing. And he's got 7,000 cases of people he regressed, and he goes through this whole thing. And he talks to them about what it's like to be between one life and the other. And one of the things that they describe is they describe screen imaging. They describe how people come to meet them and they appear to be a certain person. But it's not that person, it's the sort of the spirit putting on this image. The aliens do exactly the same thing. The other thing that bizarre, I mean, that they describe, Bruce talked about this documentary in 1988, UFO Cover-Up Live. If you remember back and you go to play it, and it's on the internet, it's on YouTube, UFO Cover-Up Live, you can play this. And when the Falcon is talking, he talks about the book, the yellow book that was written by the aliens. And he said the book was given to them and it had the whole history of the aliens. And then he talks about the crystal. And he said the most amazing thing that the Falcon had seen was a crystal. And this apparently, according to Bill Moore thought that Jimmy Chandray actually saw this crystal. And it was a crystal that you could hold, and it would be sort of dark, and you'd look at the crystal, and you could actually see history. You could see things happening in history, like everything was recorded in this crystal. And Linda Howe tells the story about them being able to show the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in this crystal. So here's this idea of the crystal. If you go to Dr. Michael Newton's work, it's called Journey of Souls, you will see them describe in the between lives the crystal. It was like when I saw that, I went, wow, just exactly the same thing, which verifies what abductees are claiming, that there's certain elements that they're showing about screen imaging and all this kind of stuff, that if you look in spiritual literature, you will find exactly the same phenomena. It proves that it's a phenomena, and if we do enough work and figure it out and put one foot in front of the other, as Bill Clinton says, you walk enough steps, good things will start happening. So that's what I've said, that we've got to start getting into the consciousness thing. We've got to get away from just straight sightings, because with Bruce McAfee, you can do all these things. The question I would ask Bruce is, what is the best photograph you have, and does it prove what the phenomena is? And I would say the answer is no. It's just the most you can get is it's a very bizarre phenomena. It's undetermined. We don't know what it is. It's not this. It's not that. But it doesn't tell us what the phenomena is. You've got to get inside the craft or talk to the aliens.
Now you're going to make this entire presentation this weekend in Philadelphia. You know what time you're going to be on?
I'm on first thing Sunday morning, and then we are on for disclosure panel in the afternoon. I'm on with the disclosure guy himself, Steve Bassett, and Richard Dolan. So that should be interesting. We're having a panel on disclosure.
Maybe we can get some people there to see. You've really done some yeoman work on all of this, and I'm impressed with your consciousness efforts as well. One final question. We're really late, but I got to ask you. People in the chat room, they wanted to. A guy came up with an idea that I think might work. He's talking about if you had an encounter with an ET, could you use a frequency device of some sort? In other words, has anybody ever tried that? I wonder. I guess you just don't know when you're going to have an encounter is a problem.
Well, you see, that's one of the things that proves that consciousness is part of it, is when the abductee research is going on, you probably already know that they've tried numerous times to put cameras into the bedrooms of abductees to film the abduction, and it never works, because if the abductee knows that the camera is there, when the aliens come, they know the camera's there because they can read the person's mind that there's a camera there. So what you'll get when they put the camera in the abductee's room is you'll get the abductee getting up and turning the camera off, and then the abduction recurs, and then the abductee comes back and turns the camera back on after the abduction is over. If it's in the person's mind, the aliens are picking it up. So that's always the problem with trying to outdo the aliens. We can never outdo the aliens because they can read what we're doing. They know what's in our mind, and unless you can shield that, nothing's going to work.
With that, we'll leave it. Grant Cameron, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you when you get back from Philadelphia.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back on Monday night with our regular UFO show. And I'd like to thank Jane Swartley of our staff, producer and web producer for JerryPippin.com, for her efforts as well. And feel free to check out our website sometime, won't you? JerryPippin, is in Paul, all one word, JerryPippin.com. Thanks for listening. Until then, cheers.